Welcome back. You're listening to This Week on RTE Radio 1 with Justin McCarthy. News this week that the number of planning permissions granted for apartments fell by 39% last year compared with 2023 will come as a big concern for the government. Fewer planning applications means fewer homes will be built in the future. And that's not good news for a country which desperately needs to increase housing supply. But why is there such a problem building high-density housing like apartments? And what can be done to reverse the problem? Well, we're joined in our studio now by Orla Hegarty, architect and assistant professor at the School of Architecture and Planning at UCD. And also on the line by Ian Lawler, who is a managing director of Round Tower Capital, which provides funding for many of Ireland's property investors. And thank you both for being with us today. And Orla, if I can start with you. The figures are quite clear. They show a significant fall in planning permissions granted for apartments last year, down 39%, as I said, on the previous year. And it's especially acute in Dublin, where planning permissions were down almost 56%. So what's going wrong?
Well, I think the two key figures, as you said, one is that apartment building last year was down significantly, 24%. In terms of planning applications, I think it's not an immediate concern because we have tens of thousands of ready-to-go applications in Dublin. It's more an indication, I think, of a loss of confidence in the sector and that people are not forward planning schemes in the way that they were a couple of years ago. It's, as you said, it's primarily a Dublin problem and it's primarily a rental problem. In the last 5 years in all of Dublin, there's been only about 2,000 apartments brought for sale, new apartments. So it's primarily a niche of the sector, I suppose. It's a rental sector in Dublin and generally new build, high density, small units.
And we know from the Department of Finance that the core cost of building a house in Dublin is about €360,000. But the cost of building an apartment is much higher, €496,000. Why does it cost so much to build apartments over houses?
Well, I think we can interrogate those figures a lot further. Those figures they're using are from the development sector themselves. So they're produced as estimates by the surveyors working with property developers. I think if we look more closely at the Department of Housing's own figures when they go out and tender to the market, you'll find the figures are significantly lower. So the department is, when they're tendering competitively in an open market, are getting much better figures than the estimates we're getting from the developers. The second problem has been we've had a lot of deregulation in the last few years around apartment building that tended to inflate land values, which was great for the people who got the changes at the time, but built in future cost in terms of more expensive to develop, very difficult to phase, which meant finance was more difficult, higher risk developments, buildings with higher maintenance and running costs in the future. So the wins that people said they gained on removing height caps, smaller units, fewer lift cores, all of those wins were really a win on the land value, but it was a loss on the construction cost.
Ian Lawler, can I come to you? You're in the business of financing the building of homes. It seems investors seem to be backing away from building high density developments like apartments. Why is that happening?
Hi, Justin. Well, Orla mentioned loss of confidence. And essentially what that is to the builder and to the funders is perceived risk and uncertainty. So if we can find ways to take sites and reduce the risk and to reduce the uncertainty or take out the uncertainty, then the likelihood becomes, increases. I suppose it's important to point out, you know, up until 2.5 years ago, big investment funds needed to take a level of risk to generate a return of 4 or 5%. So what some of them would do would be that they would build apartment buildings in Dublin, rent them out, get a 4 or 5% yield. In the last 2.5 years, they can now get that same return on their cash deposits. So why bother with the risk of development, et cetera? So in order now to make an apartment scheme attractive to the likes of a fund like that, they'd need probably a 6, 7, 8% return on it, which would drastically decrease the value of the apartment building. And therefore, you end up with the costing more to build than it's worth scenario.
And tell me then about the risk that an investor takes when they go to build an apartment block compared to building a house. Or houses.
Yeah, the difference is immense. If you look at a housing project of 100 units, the developer, and we're typically funding developers of 50 to 300 units a year, building houses, you start building the first 10 to 20 units. As the first 10 start to complete, you can begin to sell those to the market while you're building on the next 10, and so on. So your peak debt on that site is maybe one-fifth of the peak debt that would be required to build apartment blocks. If you take an apartment building with 100 units in it, you need to build the entire 100 units before you can sell any of the apartments. So whereby the house builder might be at 10 million in debt as he rolls along through that site, the apartment developer is going to be maybe 50 to 100 million euros. And you see it next door to where you are there, where Cairn, I believe, are beginning construction on the former RTE lands. That's 8 years since they bought it. They've had huge objections. They've had various issues that they've had to go through. So they've had to carry that site for 8 years. Mm. Very, very few developers can carry a site for that long.
And we are now seeing the European Central Bank cutting interest rates and continuing to cut rates. Will institutional investors come back to building apartments in Ireland if the interest rates continue to fall?
Well, I doubt they will fall to where they were 2.5-3 years ago. They were practically zero. So I wouldn't be counting on that to bring it in. I think what we need to bring into the conversation to make building viable is to discuss densities. You know, high density is the attraction to the local authorities, typically. But, and I can give an example, in Dunleary Ratdown, there is a site with full planning permission for 120 apartments, but no funds are interested in building it. It's too risky for a developer to take on. The private market won't pay what it would cost to build it plus the developer's profit margin. So therefore now that site is going to stay stranded. I think sterilized is the fancy word for it. But now, and so people in that area are probably, you know, what does it look like? It's probably an old car forecourt, an old petrol station, some disused industrial buildings, you know, an eyesore in a community. People walk past it and say, why don't they build on that? A developer has had the exact same idea. He's thought, why don't we build on that? He's tried to get planning permission for it, and everybody in the community has railed up against him. So he then can't proceed with it or decides it's not worth the risk. And so you end up 5-10 years down the line, still walking past that same eyesore.
So you say lower density, if the local authority was willing to go there, that investors would come back to it.
And there's examples even in the old buildings that we have. An area that's a great area to live in Dublin and very popular is around Stony Batter and Oxmans Town Road. If you take that, for example, you know, I don't know what the density is over there, but let's say, you know, typical three-bed semi-developments might be, you know, 10 to 14 houses per acre. I would say in the likes of Oxmans Town Road, you're probably 18 to 20 houses per acre. They're two up, two down houses. They have small gardens, communal parking on the street outside, and you end up with, you know, it's a great place to live.
Okay. I want to put that one to Orla as an architect. I mean, do you agree that perhaps local authorities need to revisit how they approach developments like that? And opt for perhaps lower density housing?
Absolutely. There's a sweet spot. There's a sweet spot in terms of what's livable, what people want to live in terms of what's optimum for construction costs. The Department of Housing did their own study that showed apartments around 5-6 stories, not the high density, high rise that we've seen. And if you look really to what people actually want rather than what the investors want, people want family housing generally for sale. What isn't talked about enough, I think, is that if this investment all comes from abroad, we'll be paying it back forever. It'll never be paid off. And that money has been taken out of Irish society and out of the Irish economy in terms of wealth building.
The plan now, though, is, I mean, the Department of Finance estimates it'll cost around 13.5 billion euros to build the 33,000 homes per annum that are in the Housing for All plan. 4 billion of that is going to come from the Exchequer, from government funds, and the rest must come from private funds.
Well, I would question something in that. They don't allow for any recycling of capital in that report. Any developer knows that they recycle their capital. They build the first phase and they move the money into the second. O'Coolan Cooperative did a 6 million development where they only needed 1.8 million of finance. So if we were look to a model of building affordably, optimising the cost, selling on the homes, whether they're apartments or houses, to people, that money could all be recycled. So I think there are a number of aspects in that Department of Finance report that that could be revisited.
Does the government need to change its model then for financing home building? Does it need to?
I think it
more?
Needs to change its procurement model. What we have at the moment is outsourcing and a lot of sidestepping public procurement. So what I mean by that is in public procurement rules, if you're contracting to a builder, you have to go through a transparent process and we know how much it's costing and you get competitive prices. You can sidestep that by buying or leasing property, which doesn't come under the same rules. And that's very opaque. There isn't a competitive tension in it. We don't know what's been spent in a lot of places. We don't know whether it's value for money. And if you look again at that report and you go back to the old model of contract build, you do have that competitive tension and it also will foster growth because one of our biggest challenges, we don't have enough players in the market. We need to build capacity. If you go back to that tendering model where you de-risk the land and finance for small builders to become developers, you can expand the market. And it's one of the issues the European Commission said, we don't have enough competition in the Dublin market and that's impacting affordability.
All right. Just very briefly, Ian Lawler, to what extent are rent caps and the likes of rent pressure zones impacting on your clients' willingness to invest in build-to-rent projects like apartments?
No, that, well, it's obviously a hindrance, but that is not the deciding factor. The deciding factor really is the builder going to survive long enough to get these apartments finished and get the money returned if you're looking at a 5-6 year project turnaround time.
All right. OK, Ian, thank you very much indeed. That is Ian Lawler, who is Managing Director of Round Tower Capital, and also Orla Hegarty, Architect and Assistant Professor at the School of Architecture and Planning at UCD. Thank you both very much for joining us today.